This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live every day at YouTube.com/The Dan Patrick Show.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning to you, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, Doug Gottlieb and Jeff Schwartz in for Dan the Danettes, who are in Ireland, and I believe they'll be getting ready for college football upcoming, won't they? Does that start tomorrow, guys? When does it start? Just Thursday and Friday? What day is today? Today is Tuesday? Okay. You ever get to where you don't know what day it is of the week? Usually that's when you come back from vacation. I have not. Maybe I should know it's Tuesday because I stayed up and watched Monday Night Football last night. Jeff Schwartz, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I watched it too. Were you excited to watch a preseason game like I was?
I don't know if I was excited to watch a preseason game, but I ended up really enjoying watching the game. Like that was like my takeaway was like, it's not just football. It was the fact the Ravens had the streak going. It was this, you know, kind of quasi-rivalry, which like we can get into later on in the show if you want. The Washington, whatever they're going to remain to be called, Commanders, and the Ravens, they should play each other every year in the regular season. Like these games should always be played. But I don't know. I thought Buck and Aikman were awesome. Like I know they were good last year. Jay Stu and I were talking when I was driving in. Like it kind of feels like a little bit of a reset for them. And then you had the really awkward handshake in the booth.
That's my
there's just a bunch to it. Yeah, I don't know if I was excited to watch it, but I enjoyed watching it a great deal. And then it was won on a game-winning field goal. There was a bunch to it. Yeah, it was cool.
I thought it was fantastic, and mostly because of that streak. And I think the Commanders were playing hard anyways, but there was that motivation to beat their rivals you mentioned. And there is a rivalry there in that region between the teams and also end the preseason. I mean, they went and celebrated after the game like they won a regular season game. Like, yeah. It was a big deal to them.
But also, they didn't win a lot of games last year.
Correct. So, yeah. And they have a new owner. It's just the first game at home with a brand new owner who was wearing just like a burgundy plain...
What? Okay, let's before we get into all this, like let's just talk like dudes, okay? What is he wearing?
It was bad.
Okay,
it was like
he's worth how much, Jay Stu? How much is he worth?
I'll effort that. Let
okay.
me effort that.
I mean, 11, look, 12 billion? I mean, it's
got to
like
be a lot. I mean, he's the managing general partner. He was a hedge fund guy, right?
Yes.
6.6 billion is what it says.
He's worth 6.6 billion?
That's after the sale or before the sale?
No, I mean, he didn't put up the $6 billion for the sale. I mean, he's got a lot of partners.
He's got partners,
right?
Correct.
He's the managing general partner of the Sixers, of the Commanders, of I think the Flyers as well, right? So those are like assets he has. He's worth a lot of money. Once you have the third comma, like, so he's wearing, and it might be really expensive, right? I don't know, but it's a burgundy polo. It didn't appear to have any buttons, and it felt like it was slightly faded. right? Now, again, I can give a guy a pass on this. If it was like, hey, this is the polo I wore the first time I came to a back when it was the Redskins, and I decided I wanted to buy that team. Like that story, other than that, you either go like t-shirt and you're every guy, or jersey and you try and be every guy, or you wear something decent. But that was like, I'm running out the door. I need something burgundy to wear. Somebody throw me a shirt. He threw it on, and then it was kind of like half sweaty. It was not a great look.
Either it was one of two things. Either he's like, oh, I don't have a burgundy shirt. Let me find one in my closet. And he pulls it out of the back of his closet. I mean, it had the pocket on the front as well. Or he just went to like a thrift shop on the way in and picked out a burgundy shirt to wear. Why did he just wear a team polo? They would have given him one
exactly.
in the locker room.
Exactly. So he walks in. That's when you don't have real friends. Like a real friend would be like, hey, dude, what are you wearing? He'd be like, I got a burgundy polo on. He's like, yeah, let's get
the team polo.
Let's get the equipment guy. Get in here. Get you a team polo.
It's your team now, buddy. This is your operation.
Yeah, you
operation.
Can do whatever you want. You don't have to even ask the equipment guy. You can tell the equipment guy. Because ultimately, it's your team.
I'm watching the video of the handshake, Doug.
It's so bad.
It's so, it's like, I mean,
okay,
you know, the
so,
joke is.
So here's the setup for people who didn't see it, because we're doing the thing you're not supposed to do in radio, which is we're assuming, right? And we're assuming that you watched and you probably didn't watch. Josh Harris is the Commander's managing general partner. He is the majority owner of the football team, as he took over for Dan Snyder. It was like a celebration of ding dong, the witch is dead, the wicked witch, right? That Dan Snyder's out. So he's up in the booth in between Troy Aikman and Joe Buck. And Joe Buck he's kind of looking at the camera, kind of looking at Troy, not really making eye contact with Harris, but he's talking with his hands. And when he's talking with his hands, he does have his right hand kind of extended in what appears to be a preemptive handshake move. And at some point, Harris just decides to kind of go in for the handshake and then realizes that it's not a handshake and pulls his hand back. And only Aikman really kind of mentions it because he smirks and smiles for a second. But yeah, that was a fun moment.
It was so awkward. It was like perfect for the moment of just an awkward guy who is a billionaire, bazillionaire in a weird burgundy colored shirt. And Troy smile. It was perfect for the preseason. It was a perfect encapsulation of what the preseason is about. But it was a good game last night. It was fun to watch. Both teams were into it, which is, I think, important, because a lot of these games the last couple of days have had no starters playing. No one's really into it. I mean, the game in the hurricane in Los Angeles was atrocious to watch. So it was good to see some teams care about the game last night.
Yes. I mean, I think guys generally, and I could be wrong, but especially in these games, they care because they're trying to either make a team or make a tape for a team. But the stadium caring and the starters caring about winning and losing was what was different last night. And again, like the Commanders went down. No, excuse me. The Ravens go down and score, and then they went for two. And then they're up eight, and the Commanders come back and score, and they go for two. There are no is no overtime in the preseason. Something I didn't know. I don't know if
it's
Buck
a great
knew,
change.
but he did mention it at some point. But they didn't get it. Great tackle on the 2-point conversion play. And then I'm sitting there with a buddy watching the game, and I was like, they're going to get the ball back. This thing's going to come down to like one last drive, and on like there was. It was like it was really like a classic 2-minute drill, where was it Jake Fromm? Is that who was the quarterback for the Commanders? Right, the kid who was at Georgia.
Yes. Right?
Okay. So he's and like 4th and 11, there was a pass interference call. Right. There was a couple of replayed calls. There was a replay as well. It was like a little bit of everything, and then they won on a game-winning field goal. And then what I thought was weird about the game-winning field goal. Did you notice when the ball first came off his foot, it felt like it was going dead left. And then all of a sudden, like, it just kind of sliced back perfectly through the uprights from about, I don't know, 44 yards for the game-winning field goal. And then, as you pointed out, the Commanders celebrated like they won a regular season or maybe even close to, like, a quasi-playoff game with that level of celebration.
it was a celebration of, I think, years now of just the organization being stuck in the mud, you know, the organization having no direction, you know, the fan base not enjoying the product at all. And it felt like it all came together with that win last night. Again, it's preseason. It means nothing, right? I mean, Sam Howell played well. That's good if you're a Commanders fan. But otherwise, there's not much to take away from this game other than the energy of the organization feels much different now with a brand new owner. And that's what I took away from watching them play last night. It's just they looked different at home, and the energy of this game, they're excited, obviously, that they don't have Snyder there anymore.
We do realize that as much as there's new energy now, there is only one unforgivable sin in sports, and that's losing. And so if they win, people will love them. If they lose, people will not.
Yeah, I think they're going to win more than we think. If Sam Howell can be like average quarterback in the NFL, they got a pretty good roster, man. They won more games than we thought last season. I'm not sold on Sam Howell. Obviously, it's one preseason game. The preseason overreactions, Doug, have gotten like intenser by the year. I don't know why we all do this, but if he can be average, they're going to win a lot of football. They're going to be a surprise team this year if Sam Howell can be any bit of average.
Yeah, and you know, in fairness to Ron Rivera, when he's had his starting quarterback healthy, right? Like when he had Alex Smith, they were actually in first place in the NFC.
Yes.
They've just been besieged by injuries. And the question for Sam Howell is, one, can he stay healthy? And two, like, what's his ceiling? What's his floor? And yeah, I'm with you. Like, I think none of us believe that do you believe like Dak Prescott is some crazy talent at quarterback? I don't know. I feel like he went from underrated to overrated to now. Yeah, now people are almost underrating him.
Are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's about 10 to 12, right? I mean, I put him and Cousins sort of.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah, it's 10, yeah. But so they're really like 10 to 12.
I think Cousins is a little better, to be totally honest with you. That would be my, I would say Cousins, you know, but again, it's, we're neither of us think he's like, they're like Super Bowl caliber quarterback.
Correct.
Right? They're good.
They're good.
They're good, and they're good leaders and good dudes. And they don't have flaws as human beings that'll bring them down outside of football. So, and then, you know, I don't know what you think of Daniel Jones. I think the Giants are a little bit better than people think they are. You know, I don't think they were great last year, but again, that NFC East had a super easy schedule. And then the Eagles, who were just dominant last year, one, easy schedule, but two, seven new starters, and three, two new coordinators. And they're a game that's circled on everybody's calendar this year. I think it's going to be interesting to see that division. So I'm with you on Washington being, I think, better than we think, but I don't know what that actually looks like.
It all comes down to Sam Howell. I mean, we have seen this year after year. The division previews for the NFL can be boiled down very simply to, do you have the best quarterback in the division? If you look at the winners of divisions, most recently last season, the year before that, I mean, 7 out of 8 divisions are the best quarterback, right? And Sam Howell, no matter what you think of him, how good he can be, I think he'll never be better than Jalen Hurts. I don't think he'll be better than Dak Prescott. And if you just get average from him, you can make a wild card berth. You can be competitive each week. But I don't see him, Doug, as a franchise quarterback. I know we like the underdog story. We like thinking that a fifth-round pick is going to be, but those are the outliers, a very rare quarterback. We just talked about two of them, two fourth-round picks, right? Cousins and Dak Prescott. It's just like good, not Super Bowl caliber, right? So Sam Howell's not going to get to that point, I think, where they can win the division, but they can be competitive enough to make it fun each week. Everyone can keep their job. And maybe next year you surround him with more talent, even though they have a ton of talent, and you hope that, you know, in year three he makes a little bit of a jump and you're more competitive. But you're not, in my opinion, if you're Washington, you're just never going to get to that point where he's winning you the division and winning you a bunch of playoff games.
No, but I think that the idea is, and I would also say Chase Young, if Chase Young can get back to what we thought he was before the knee, anywhere close, that could be a determinant, right? Because they could have just get back to that dynamic defensive front and play to their defense. But like, I think this is the classic way in which you rebuild a roster, which is what the Eagles really want to do. And they just, I think they lucked into Jalen Hurts. I don't think no one thought Jalen Hurts was going to be this good. Zero people, even the Eagles, right? They were positioning themselves with the three first round picks to draft a quarterback this past year. And Jalen Hurts ended up being like arguably the best quarterback in the league last year, kind of surprised him. But you rebuild a roster by having a guy on a rookie deal, especially a non-first rounder on a rookie deal. He makes no money. So you can take that money and spread it around and build an entire roster. And then, like, all right, now we figure out, do we use our resources to get an elite quarterback in the draft coming up when the rest of our roster, when the rest of our roster is already full up?
You, if you're Washington, you have to do that. The worst place to be in the NFL is sort of where they're at right now, which is we don't have a quarterback that's good enough to win a Super Bowl. I think the most ardent Commanders fans would say that's the case deep in their hearts, as much as they want to think Sam Howell is going to be this guy that he probably isn't. And they're not bad enough like Arizona or maybe Tampa Bay to get a Caleb Williams or Drake May. They're sort of in the middle. Now, you're right. They can trade up and sort of sacrifice the future. And Caleb Williams, I think, is good enough to do that. But who's ever drafting first, if it's Arizona, is going to want him anyways, right? So you're kind of going to have to settle for someone else. They're sort of in the worst spot to be in. Now, as a fan of the team, they're going to be competitive, which is what you want, right? It's much more fun to watch a team that competes each week than a team that wins three games. But you're not looking forward to any sort of postseason success if you have a quarterback like Sam Howell.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, what's the real difference between Sam Howell and Baker Mayfield in terms of talent?
Nothing. I mean, I think Sam Howell probably runs a little bit better, but that's about it.
Right. So, I mean, part of it is like, and I do, I agree with you that he's not an elite talent, right? He is not Justin Herbert. He is not Pat Mahomes. He's not Lamar. He doesn't have something that no one else has. But he's just, he has a chance to be good and solid, which I think Baker, that's Baker's real level of talent right there, right? Is he's really, he was really kind of that in that third to fourth round range sort of thing. And again, if you put a really good team around him, those guys can be fine. You're right. The playoffs, they're not, those guys generally don't win you games. But we just talked about Kirk Cousins. Wasn't he a fourth round pick?
Yeah,
we just talked about
Dak. We just
talked about Dak Prescott. Was he a fourth round pick?
Yeah, they both won one playoff game.
Okay, again, but you also said they're both in that 10 to 12 range. And again, I think that's probably a little bit above where Sam Howell will be, but we haven't really seen him start a game with this team. So I don't think they're in that bad of, I think we both walk away going they're not in that bad a place. The plan is probably to build up the roster and then try and get a legit guy. In the meantime, he might be good enough, and let's kind of see where this thing goes. But it was a breath of fresh air to have a big-time broadcast, a competitive game, two teams with their own unique stories, and then the Washington Commanders finally feel like, okay, now we can talk about them again because Dan Snyder's no longer involved.
Yeah, they're fans. I have friends, I'm sure you do, that are Commanders fans. Like I've never seen a fan base more happy for an ownership change. Just a breath of fresh air. We saw even there were the signs lining the freeway, the highway heading into the stadium, thanking the owner for buying the team, the new owner. Like it's a big weight lifted off the shoulders of those fans who weren't proud to be Commanders fans. I'm sure they changed that name too. That has to be done as well. And the first home game is going to be full. That place is huge. It seats over 90,000. It gets loud. I'm happy for that fan base. They're very passionate and they deserve to have a product they can cheer for.
Would you? What name is the name?
Not Commanders. I liked I think Red Wolves was one of them they had up there. I think that was one I liked. What were the other options? There was
there's a Native American group with 90,000 signatures to bring back Redskins.
Look, man, I mean, if they want to do that, fine with me. I mean, Utah still has the Utes, right? The Seminoles and Florida State. I mean, it's still happening.
Utah used to be the Indians.
Yes, they're now the Utes, but they've been the Utes for quite a long time. But, I mean, some of the teams still have the tribal name.
Like, yeah.
The tribes are fine with it.
My thing with the Redskins was I did think there was equity with it, and two, it's not actually a slur that anybody uses, right? It's anyway, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It's probably too early in the morning to get into some political warfare over a nickname, but I would agree with you that Commanders just feels weird. It does. I liked the Washington football team better
Loved
than the Commanders. I thought that was cool, right? Like, why can't we be different and be Washington's football team? That's fine.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, it's halftime and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Good morning to you. Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, along with Jeff Schwartz. I'm Doug Gottlieb. So, Jeff, here's my question about the Jets.
Yes.
Is it going to work?
What does work mean?
Well, you know the expectations. Expectations are at least playoffs, and then, is it a playoff team? Does it? Everyone thinks, well, they were a quarterback away. Is now they clearly have a quarterback. Is it going to work?
I think they're 50-50 for the playoffs, and I don't think in year one they're going to have a magical playoff run. They play in a tough division, as we know. Defensive regression is a thing in the NFL, where one year you're really good, the next year you drop back a little bit. That's sort of typically what happens. There's obviously exceptions to that rule over the years, but most often there's a little bit of a drop back. Now, obviously, the upgrade on quarterback can make up for the drop on defense, but Doug, I don't know if you paid attention much to them. I know that we sort of all have. Their offensive line is a complete wreck right now. And nothing that they do with the quarterback position is going to make their offensive line magically better. They have a lot of problems on that unit right now. And if they can't get that fixed, and it can be fixed with as simple as like Dwayne Brown just kind of coming back, their left tackle.
Dwayne Brown's 39 years old.
I know. No, but there's a lot
he'll be fine. Like, he's 39 years. First of all, you're betting on him to be nearly what he has been at 39. And then you're also betting on him to not get hurt again, whereas we all know the older you get, the more likely you are to get hurt again.
So if Dwayne Brown, again, if comes back healthy left tackle, that fixes that position, allows Mekhi Becton to go back to right tackle. But there's, let's talk about moving their best guard right now to back to tackle. Like, if their offensive line can't play well, they're not going to do very well this season. And Rodgers is older, is going to be getting hit a little bit. He's not as mobile as he used to be. Again, once you get older, to your point, you stop moving as well. And That to me is a huge concern. In a division where I think Miami is really, 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 really going to be good this season. They add Vic Fangio, defense coordinator, very underrated awesome. Addition to this Dolphins team, I think, with the players they have on defense. If Tua stays healthy, the offense we saw last year are going to be really good. I think the Patriots are better than people want to give them credit for. They have a real offensive coordinator now, a real one. Last year they had an offensive line coach and a defensive coordinator and a special teams coach calling plays on offense. That's not how it works. They have a real offensive coordinator and a real defense. Like, they're going to be good. The Jets have a tough schedule. I don't think they're going to see a lot of as much success as they hope. I think they're fighting for a wild card berth, and they're losing that wild card round.
They open up, I don't know if you've seen their schedule.
Oh, it's bad.
They open up Bills on Monday Night Football at home, at Dallas against Cowboys, Patriots at home, defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, also at home. They go to Denver, take on the Broncos. Of course, we know they'll be a, you know, because of the coaching change there and their offensive coordinator was the head coach there. Then they got Eagles, Giants, on the Giants, Chargers, before they go to the Raiders, then back to the Bills. Like, man, that is, give me the Falcons early in the season. Give me the Cardinals early in the season. Let's welcome in Kerry Rhodes. He joins us. Of course, he played safety for the Jets and the Cardinals, and he joins us here on the Dan Patrick Show. Kerry, give me your sense. Everyone's talking about the offensive line. How problematic is that going to be early on in the season?
Well, it is problematic. What's up, Doug and Jeff? Yeah, it's problematic, but it's one of those things where when you get a veteran quarterback, a lot of times you're able to mask some of those things. So I'm sure they know that the line has sucked throughout training camp so far. And, I mean, we've heard that from Sala on Hard Knocks, right? But at the end of the day, when you bring in a veteran guy, I mean, you can look at those Tom Brady teams in New England. There was years where that offensive line wasn't great either or even really, really good. But being able to mix match those guys and put them in the best positions to be successful and a quarterback that knows the offense the way that Tom did, it's the same situation that's coming here with Hackett coming back to the Jets. So you have familiarity with all your hot reads, all your hot routes, all your checks. And so, you know, Aaron knows that he's going to get rid of the ball quick early and they're going to run the ball. And I think that patchwork line will get them through that gauntlet of those first couple of games where it's tough. And they'll be right in the thick of it as it moves on.
Nate Hackett has not been a good offensive coordinator. The numbers back it up. What changes with Aaron Rodgers? Just that he has Aaron Rodgers now and he becomes something that he hasn't been? Or do you think there's still some question marks about his ability to lead a successful offense?
Oh, that's going to be question marks for sure. After leaving the situation he left last year and it being such a mess, I mean, for lack of better words. But, I mean, the success that Hackett's had with Aaron, I mean, obviously that speaks for itself. The familiarity helps. And Aaron being able to have a situation where, you know, he's comfortable and being able to go to the line and put them in the best possible play. Because, you know, a lot of times when you have veteran guys, you're not just going to the line with one play call. And, you know, in the situation last year, I'm sure they didn't have that same flexibility with Russell Wilson. So I'm looking at the familiarity here being a real, real, real big positive. And, yes, he hasn't had success in the last few years, but with Aaron Rodgers, he has.
Okay, Kerry, I have a question here, and maybe, Jeff, you can hop in as well, okay? So yeah. I get, Kerry, what you're saying, like, look, you go up to the line of scrimmage. You run this offense. You know it like the back of your hand. You know all the options. Okay, you're super familiar with it, which is really comforting to a quarterback, right? You know the protections. Yeah. You know the lingo. Nothing has changed. It's great.
Right.
What about the rest of those guys, though? They don't. Do they have the same level of comfort when you're making changes?
I think they do. I mean, I think that's why Aaron came in to all the OTAs and all the mini camps where he hasn't done that in the past, right? I'm sure he knew that that was going to be a big emphasis for them guys going into the season. I mean, the chain of communication, I'm sure, has been open throughout this whole process. So Aaron, you know, showing that he's been such a great leader in this situation with the Jets has been very promising. And seeing him go early, I'm sure they've gone through a lot of these things. And they're going through all the tape. And that's what the preseason is for, Doug. You know, I mean, so, I mean, these guys are going to work it out. And like I said, I mean, I know I sound like a stand right now, but the fact of the matter is, it's like, yeah, Aaron's not going through a situation where he doesn't think he's going to have a chance to succeed. So him pouring all his leadership skills into this situation and knowing, you know, the best possible outcome is for them all to be together and work this thing, he's done a great job of that. So I see them all being on the same page.
some of the issues with Aaron Rodgers' offense the last couple of years is kind of the the locking on a wide receiver, kind of choosing favorites.
Right.
Does that sort of just stop with a new team, or is that something you think he still has to kind of work through as he kind of finds himself with a new roster?
Yeah, I think, I mean, when you have a guy like Davante Adams, you're gonna throw the ball to that guy. You know what I mean? So there are some guys that kind of break the mold, break the rule when it comes to keying in on guys. But I think in this situation, he does like Jared Wilson a lot. But I think he's going to spread the ball around. Huh? And I know that because of the other signings they brought in, right? They brought in some familiarity, again, that word, with some of his guys from Green Bay. And so he will have outlet guys to go to, and they will know the text, right? So you're also not just bringing in the quarterback that knows, but you're bringing in, Lazard, you're bringing in the Cobb. These people know the offense as well. So the communication is going to be open, and it's going to be a chance for them all to really learn this thing and hit the ground running.
In full disclosure, I am a Rodgers fan, right? I've been the Rodgers defender for years, right?
Yep.
But I also know that he does have a tendency when things don't go well to not have the greatest body language in the world, right? And that teams, people feed off that. Like it's the old, your body language screams what you're really thinking and feeling.
Yep.
I wonder this kind of mythical idea of going out and trading for David Bakhtiari, who the Packers are like, dude, we're not trading our best lineman when we think we're pretty good. And it just seems so, I don't know, to me that's the, man, he doesn't like this offensive line thing at all. That's what it screams to me. And if he starts getting hit, like that's when the bad Aaron comes out. That's what I fear, Kerry, is that everything's hunky-dory now when there's no adversity. You start getting hit, no quarterback likes getting hit, especially when they're 39, and Aaron is somebody whose body language can change dramatically when things aren't going the way he wants.
Yeah, I don't like to get bumped in when I'm walking through a crowd. So, no, when you're 39, you don't want to get hit as a quarterback for sure. And you're right, Doug. That stuff is true about him. I mean, you can't hide the fact that's the truth. But I also think, again, from what it seems like, I can't say I think, but from what it seems like, he has this refreshed attitude about all this. And I know he knows that all eyes are on him. He's going to be on his best behavior right now. But yeah, when the fire hits the fan, we'll see. I think that he really wants to go in there and win and prove that he can do it outside of Green Bay. And he has this chip on his shoulder. And we see guys like Joe Montana in his old in the 90s when he left San Fran. Nobody really thought he was going to do much in Kansas City. He took that chance to the playoffs.
Sure.
I mean, I think it's AFC Championship.
AFC Championship game. That's correct. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, there. No. I see it playing out similar to that.
No, I'm with you. I can see a world in which I think all of this was triggered, honestly, when Tom Brady came in and beat them in Green Bay, and it's like his first year, and he takes off his helmet. He looks like $1 million. Aaron Rodgers looks like, he's been in Alaska for years, like all worn and weathered. And he's like, what am I doing here? I want out. Let me go around the league.
Leave alone, Doug.
Let me go around the league a little bit. We got a chance to see Washington and Baltimore last night, and we're going crazy over Baltimore's Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham Jr. But it's the old idea of are we gonna turn Lamar Jackson into a pocket passer?
Mm-hmm.
Does that work in your mind?
I think it works. The one thing about Lamar that a lot of people gloss over or seem to forget is he was in a pro style offense at Louisville, right, with Petrino. And I mean, obviously, I went to Louisville, so I got to see those guys a lot. I went to see them in training camp. I saw them early in the season. And obviously, the design runs were flashy, and that was part of what they did as well. But Petrino runs a pro-style offense. And so being able to make reads and make throws and read the field is part of his package. But, I think the one thing that Baltimore did, they did two things. Number one, they built the offense around a player and his talents, which is great. Like, that's part of maturity, that's part of being a really good coach in this league, being able to adapt to your best players and put them in a position to succeed. But at a point, there becomes a moment where you have to adjust again. People are going to start adjusting to what you do as well. So
sure.
They didn't do that with Roman. And now you get a chance with Monken to have a fresh set of eyes, a fresh set of ideas, and also build around the players that you have now. And the players they have now are guys that can get open at the receiver position. So, I mean, don't put it past Lamar being able to read the field and make passes because he can.
We had a discussion earlier about kind of the practice style now and the playing reps in the preseason. Yeah. We've kind of noticed that older coaches play their players and younger coaches don't in the preseason. Is there a preferred method, you think, to getting ready? Because I know you played an era, so did I, when you played in the preseason. And now we see younger coaches that don't play players that feels like they need the preseason reps, like Justin Fields and Anthony Richardson. Even Lamar is not playing at all in this offense, in this brand new offense in the preseason.
Yeah, you need to play a little bit. I'm from the old school, too. I think the sweat equity that comes with playing and just, you know, the callus that comes from playing, like, you need that. And I know, like, you see all these guys having these long season-ending injuries and they're having these, injuries that are keeping them away from the game for such a long time. Obviously, you want to protect them, and that makes sense from the outside looking in. But once you're in it, you have to go through the wars. You have to go through the battles. Your body has to get adjusted to playing aggressive type of football. And I think they're stunting these kids and not giving them a chance to be successful by not letting them go out there and just get some reps. I mean, even when I was playing, I mean, I came in as a rookie in 2005 as a starter. I mean, we still would play at least two series. Just get your feet wet and start being able to see the game and see the field from that perspective when you're not hitting each other. So I definitely believe in you have to play a little bit.
Yeah. Gary, we just want to hit somebody. Let's just be honest. Right? I need to hit somebody. Right, that first hit, you're like, whoo, okay. Okay, let's go. Kerry Rhodes, you can hear him on weekends here on Fox Sports Radio. Of course, played for the Jets, played for the Cardinals. Was a good one, really good on radio as well. Kerry, thanks for joining us, man.
Thank you, Doug. I appreciate it. Thank you, Jeff.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required, and you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite, and you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick.
Good morning to you, Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app. Hope you're doing well. With Jeff Schwartz, I'm Doug Gottlieb. And we've seen different reasons, but Jeff, they didn't have the joint. Did they have the joint practices when you played?
At the end of my career, I kind of straddled the new CBA in 2011. So I, you know, when we ended the double days, we, you know, we used the joint practices. I've only done one in my career in my 9 years of training camps. So it wasn't as frequent.
Did you like it?
It was fine. I was in Detroit. We went to Pittsburgh. Every video I've seen of a joint practice ended with a big brawl, right? We even had that on a Hard Knocks episode, I think, with the Falcons. And so I was with Jim Caldwell with the Lions. We went up to La Trobe and practiced against Mike Tomlin's Steelers, and we were told no fighting. It just was very chill. I did not expect it to be as chill as it was. It was fine. It wasn't what people make it out to be, where I think coaches put a lot of stock into these joint practices more than they do some preseason games. It was fine. It was fine to play someone else, but also you're playing
fine
Pittsburgh.
Fine is not really like fine is like the word mediocre.
Yeah.
Right. Well, like, okay. Too, so what does mediocre mean?
It was just it was training camp. Like it sucks. It all sucks. And then you're just doing it against someone else. And Pittsburgh had a different defense that we weren't going to face all season. It felt like training camp, like another training camp practice. But you're just not playing your own team. But you can't tackle, right? You're not practicing cut blocks. It's not a game. It's practice against someone else.
Why? Well, these coaches and general managers seem to love it. I don't. They talk about it like it's the greatest thing ever.
Correct.
Why?
It's scripted too. Like I think most of it's scripted, so you already know what you're gonna do. I don't know, man. I find it very interesting how we have older coaches, right? Andy Reid, the Tomlin, the Belichick, the Pete Carroll, where you know they're pretty, and even kind of you know Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan, who's been in this business a long time. You know they're about playing their guys in preseason games, right? Like they want their starters to get reps in those games, yes, to feel the live action, to hit a little bit, to do it, you know, to do a live 2-minute drill, to practice situations. And then younger coaches don't play their guys at all. I kind of don't understand why, you know, for the Bears, for example, they didn't play Justin Fields or any of the offense. He completed 3 passes in his first game for -8 air yards. Like you gotta, a practice against, I think they played, I don't even know who were against. It's not the same as a game when you actually get hit, right? You're getting hit. They're calling pressures and other things happening that you didn't see in practice. And you're working through communication and new wide receivers, new offensive linemen. And the young coaches, man, they love the joint practice. They view that as an opportunity to practice but not get hurt, get your work in and go home. And you know, Andy Reid doesn't do joint practices. He's never done one. He won't do it. I don't know how many Seattle does. I know, as I mentioned, Pittsburgh does them every now and then. Belichick's been known to do them as well. But the young coaches, they're about joint practices and no playing preseason games.
Yeah, I've talked about this with some coaches and some other football people and some college coaches as well, which is I think one of the reasons for the kind of older school philosophy is, and like you played, so you would know way better than the rest of us, which is, don't you need to hit somebody and
yes,
get hit to prepare to get hit and hit somebody? You can't. How do this? You're practicing and hitting so little now, and the injury numbers are just as high, if not higher, in many, many places. And so I think it has the opposite of the intended effect. Like McVay was the first one to go like, my guys aren't playing. And yet when you look, Cooper Kupp's gotten hurt twice, right? His own quarterback got hurt last year. He's been besieged by injuries both in the pre and regular season, despite all of his efforts to not get hurt. Now, they've also been to a Super Bowl and won a Super Bowl, but they've had some down years because of those injuries. I guess that's the question. Isn't there an amount that you have to hit in order to build up some sort of like almost football antibodies for the regular season?
I believe so. I've always believed that. Now, do you need to do double days every day? No. But I do think that there's a part of the game that requires the physical contact to be able to learn, as you know, learn your body and how to withstand, you know, the physical rigors of every play of playing multiple plays in a row. I mean, I think you have to do it still. Obviously the younger coaches don't feel that way. What I find so interesting about the, as you mentioned, the injury rate, right? As the NFL players have negotiated, right? This is in the CBA,
right?
Less practice time,
yep.
More days off.
Right.
And when you do a negotiation, so if you're saying, I want this, the owners go, well, I want this in exchange, right?
Yes, yes.
So we're losing, I would assume, a little bit of money to practice less because of quote unquote injuries, but the injury rate has not gone down at all. So we're giving up money for no reason. It's not helping bodies last longer in the NFL. It's not helping guys withstand injuries longer. And again, I go back to, I know I use Andy Reid a lot on this, but he's been a successful coach for many, many years. They still have live tackling periods. Like they college football, right? Why do you think Alabama and Georgia are so good? They have good players, obviously. We know that. But they have tough physical practice. Anyone talks about the way they practice, right? Like that practice in football and the physicality in it, to me, is important to success. Sean McVay, obviously, he's proven everyone a little bit wrong. But as you mentioned, injuries have caught up to the Rams. But he also had a veteran team, a veteran quarterback, a veteran left tackle, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp. Like, he can afford to sit some of the younger players in the preseason. But I don't know why Anthony Richardson's not playing in the preseason. Why didn't he play this weekend? He could use every... He threw the ball like 300 times at Florida. He used every rep possible. Justin Fields can use every rep possible right now. I don't get why these coaches don't want to see the guys out there. The injury rate in the preseason for quarterbacks is so low. They're not getting hurt. Why? What are you afraid about?
Okay, you mentioned the Colts. And the story came out yesterday that Jonathan Taylor has been given the okay to go and with his agent to go and search for a trade partner. And so remember, Taylor's the guy who he's been a star when he's healthy in the league. Wasn't healthy last year, but wants to reset the running back market. And here we are, August 22nd, and his agent's going to be calling around trying to get a trade. And remember, in order to trade for Jonathan Taylor, you not only have to have the Colts agree to the trade and the value of the trade, but you also have to re-sign him to a contract extension, and he wants it at what he believes fair market value is top of the market, because when healthy, he's top of the market running back. Is there a team out there that's going to offer him that?
No. I don't think so. I was so hopeful the Colts would do it, so we stop having this discussion about running back worth and salaries and whatnot, because it's kind
of would do what?
Would give him a long-term contract that was a lot of money, so we stopped talking about this, because I feel like this is a discussion that is it's the answer is in front of us, and yet some people still want to, you know. And I look, I'm an offensive lineman. I played with a Hall of Fame running back in Adrian Peterson, one that would have been, with Jamal Charles if he hadn't got hurt, two other Pro Bowl guys in D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. I've benefited from those guys, but if I'm building a team right now, I'm not drafting one in the first round. I'm not paying one a second contract. That's just not a smart way to build your team. And I understand that makes everyone a little uncomfortable when you say, hey, these guys have put in the work, they've sacrificed their bodies, and they don't deserve more money. Yeah, I get it. I get why that's uncomfortable to say. But if you're building a team, you just can't pay that guy. The only guy off the top of my head right now that is, I think, really going to be, it could be a difference maker in winning or losing a Super Bowl is Christian McCaffrey, right? On the night. He kind of changed that offense. But I'd argue, Doug, that Brock Purdy has to take another jump this season for them to win. It doesn't matter how good McCaffrey is.
Well, I mean, here's the McCaffrey argument, okay? So when they, remember his first 3 years, he didn't miss a snap.
Yes.
Okay. And they gave him a contract extension earlier than they needed to. And then he was banged up for a couple years. Then they traded him. Did you know the Carolina, and you probably do because you live there.
They rushed better, yes.
They were actually better running the football.
Correct.
After they traded him.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so, and he's and he's light years ahead. So the first thing I don't like, I'm going to disagree. I generally agree with you that you probably don't take a guy in the first round unless – you know, you got all everything else, because the first round money doesn't really hurt you. It's the second contract which does, because none of them end up living up to the second contract. Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, like we go through it, Todd Gurley, all these guys got the big second contract and none of them were nearly as good in the second contract as they were the first contract. McCaffrey hasn't been as healthy in the second contract as he was the first contract. Alvin Kamara hasn't been able to stay healthy, right? Derrick Henry is, but Derrick Henry's making 12 a year. But the most important thing I would push back on is, it's not that I don't want him on my team. It's not that I don't want to offer him a contract extension. I just don't want to pay him $16 million. I'll pay him 12. I'll pay him 12. Fine. For, you know, a couple years of like 2 years of 12 million, fine. I'm just not going to pay 16. And it's not because I'm cheap. It's because I can use that other money for something else.
Correct. That is why, right? So like, if you're Tennessee, for example, you're the Titans, and I argue that Derrick Henry is the last Hall of Fame running back we have in the NFL right now. He's like the last guy, because guys, to your point, they're not getting paid, they're not staying on the same team, and the longevity of that position is not going to be long enough to be a Hall of Famer. And a lot of young players are not going to play running back, and so the talent pool is going to change. If you're a Titans fan, would you take a little bit less production from the running back position, but you have more money to spend on an offensive line and more money to spend on another player to help your quarterback? Like, I think you would say in the end, you would have done that, right? That your point's exactly right. It's not about not paying the back. It's about spending money in other parts of your team and finding a running back in the second round or third round, or paying, obviously, you know, a lower amount to a starting running back to come as a free agent. You still need a run game, though. This doesn't mean that you've sacrificed the physicality and the violence and the attitude of a run game, right? It's still important to have that as part of your team. You just don't need that bell cow running back who you draft in the first round. And your point's accurate. Look, if you have if you're a team that has a lot of talent and you just need one more piece, and the running back might be that piece, taking the first round pick on him is not the worst thing in the world. But you still need that as part of your offense, Doug. You still need to be able to hit and run the ball and set up play action pass and things like that. But you just don't need to do it with someone you're paying $15 million a year to.
Right. And then you factor in the timing of it is really bad for Jonathan Taylor, right? Because we've had an entire preseason and no top level running back has gotten hurt. So there's nobody who's a team that thinks they can compete for a Super Bowl that is in dire need of a running back, so much so that they'll move mountains and overpay a guy, right? Because that's the type of thing that will happen. And like, again, one, if you're the Colts, you're not going to take a draft pick from somebody who's, you know, I mean, what draft pick is going to be offered? And then are you going to, you know, you're going to give a bunch of money to, I just, the timing is screwy.
Yeah.
You know, if it was the off season, I think he'd have a shot. But right, like a couple weeks for the regular season,
yeah.
No shot.
Well, let's also be fair here. Like, a team could have traded for him 2 weeks ago if they wanted to. Like, even though they said, oh, we're not trading him, he's untouchable.
Yep.
If a team called and said, hey, we're giving you a first-round pick, he would have been out of there 2 weeks ago. So teams have had the opportunity to trade for him. And you mentioned the point of the actual draft pick they're going to receive, right? So if you're a team who would want Jonathan Taylor, assumption, I think we're correct on this, would be a back end of the first round draft pick, right? So, you know, people said Buffalo. I don't see them trading for a first round pick for running back, but certainly possible. That first round pick is going to be pick 28, right? 27. Is that something you want? I think you would say yes if you're the Colts, but you're not going to get, if you ask for the second round pick, now you're looking in, you know, the late 50s, right? So the pick changes, obviously, depending on where that team is going to draft. And a bad team's not trading for Jonathan Taylor. And then you have to pay him, of course. I think he's going to have to play this season. I feel bad for backs, man. I don't have a great solution for them. The CBA is not changing for five or six running backs that want to get more money. I don't know what the answer is.
I'm going to tell you something that a general manager told me last week. Yeah. Like, you'll have people who go on radio and TV and say, don't be a running back. And
still make a lot of money.
Well, you still make a lot of money, right? You're not going to be the highest paid guy or the second highest paid guy, but you're going to be paid a lot more than a lot of other positions, and it's actually a lot easier to make the league as a running back because you keep three or four.
It is, and again, look, I know we're talking in terms of NFL contracts, right?
Right.
But Saquon Barkley's made a lot of money.
Yes.
Like, he's made a lot of money. Jonathan Taylor is going to make a lot of money.
Right.
I know it's not the same as another position in the NFL.
Right.
And,
well, it's like we finally figured out that it's like it took a while, but they finally figured out, like, hey, you know, and this is no different, by the way, than in the NBA Like the power forward is now, it's extinct. You know, the traditional, the Charles Oakley power forward, those guys don't exist anymore.
Correct.
Right? And then the traditional center, and you can tell me Jokic is a traditional center. Like, he's
yeah,
not.
Sure.
I mean, he's not. But the Roy Hibberts of the world have no value. So this is just the changing times to where we're like, wait, why were we spending a bunch of money there, resources there? Let's move it around. We do that in business. We do that in other sports. Why don't we do, like, in Major League Baseball, how many teams have we seen go with an opener instead of a starting pitcher? Why? Does it really make sense to have some, you know, depend, put all your money on one starter whose arm can break down instead of having a great bullpen and spread it out? Like, these are real things that happen, and yet we get so caught up in running backs, whether it's because of fantasy football or the emotions of it, or when we grew up, the running back was everything. Whatever it is, the reality to it is this is a microcosm of the rest of the business world, the rest of the sports world. Things do change, and it's not that they have no value. It's just their value hasn't grown like other sports, other positions' values have grown.
Absolutely, and that's okay. And I know people have a hard time with that because I think your point is very accurate because of the fantasy football part of it is, yeah, like, you know these players, you know what they look like with their helmets off.
They score touchdowns. That's why. I mean, they score tutties.
And they do play a very physically demanding position. There are times I've been on a football field and I've heard a running back get hit and I thought they were going to not get up afterwards. Like, yeah, it's a violent position to have to play. And we see those hits. They're very visceral. But to your point, and the point I've made for years now, is that the game has changed where those guys, just the value, the actual dollar amount to pay those guys is not what it used to be.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.